This is the Wu Wei Wisdom Podcast. Our weekly no-nonsense life lessons aim to inspire you to master your emotional and spiritual health, achieve balance, harmony, and flow, and rediscover the authentic and awesome you. We're your hosts, David James Lees and Alexandra Lees. This week we are talking all about people pleasing. Now, are you a people pleaser who always puts other people's needs before your own? Maybe you find yourself often saying yes to other people's requests and demands when actually you'd rather say no. And so you can end up tired and burnt out and ultimately not following your true path. Well, in this teaching, we're going to be revealing what drives your people-pleasing behavior, how your inner child is involved, and what you can do starting today to begin to put your own needs first in a way that you don't feel guilty and remain the kind and compassionate person that you truly are. Okay, David, so what's the difference between being a fully fledged people pleaser and just being a nice, kind, compassionate person?
Well, I think it's a good question, Alice, because I think that's where a lot of clients get confused. Where is that very fine line? And actually, the line is moving all the time, and that's what Wu Wei means, this in your flow. So this subject covers two main areas of the Wu Wei wisdom model, the process, the technique that you're looking at. The first one I want to talk about is Shen, your innate value and worth. People pleasing will mean that you are sacrificing your own value and worth. And I want to explain to you why you're doing this. Bring this out of your subconscious mind and bring it into your conscious mind. And you're putting them hierarchically more important than yourself. And then the second one that you said in the introduction, it's the inner child, because this started very young in your childhood.
So what you're saying is that when the balance goes wrong and we move from just being kind and generous and considerate to people pleasing, we're not honoring our true authentic nature and wisdom and spirituality, because we're honoring someone else more above ourselves. And it's perhaps the inner child, that part of our mind that we call the inner child, that is driving this imbalance.
That's exactly right, Alex. On a very deep level that hopefully we can bring out in this teaching, you are sacrificing your own self-worth and you're looking outside of yourself for someone to give you what you may call validation, approval, strokes, may want think highly of you, what they think is very important to you. And what you've done on a very profound level is you've moved your value source to other people when, as we say in our teachings, you are innate in your value and worth. No one can give it to you, and certainly no one can take it away. It's your birthright. It's who you are. And I often use this example. When a child was born, when you were born, when anybody was born, if you have children, does the midwife hold the child up in the delivery room and say, quick, can somebody give this child some value and worth? And when I call that Shen. And so you have that. That's yours. But the inner child loses that knowledge or never gains that knowledge. And then you're constantly looking to external sources to try and receive that validation. But it never works. It's never enough, and that's why you fall into these manipulations of pleasing people. You think that if you please them, they will be hold you in high value.
But I think it's really difficult to know the difference between honoring our true nature, our true spirit, our Shen, and in that we would want to be the best partner, the best husband, the best wife, the best friend, the best mother, father, daughter, son that we can be in terms of our authentic true self. And when it goes overboard, is there like a stress test or a way that we can judge that subtle difference?
Well, that's a difficulty that people have. You know, you should be authentic. You should be living your best life. You should be honoring yourself. But the little stress test is when you're looking for other people to give you that validation. If you look at the word validation, the giving of value, and no one can give you what you already have. This is where the marker goes out of balance. You already are worthy. And so if you've said to yourself what we call the three lies, at any time, if this is in your subconscious mind, I'm not good enough, I can't cope, and I'm unlovable or unworthy, the only one you're really harming is yourself. And that's why I call it the three lies. Because your next step then is to look externally for others to give you that approval, to give you that validation. And it's like that donkey chasing the carrot. It's never enough for you. It can never be enough for you because they can't give it to you. And then you're sacrificing what I believe to be the most important part of you. Not the way you look, not how you dress, not how you are at your work, and not if people like you or dislike you. It's your value and your connection with your shed. That, to me, is the highest level that we should be working towards. And if you sacrifice that, that's your stress test, Alex. If we sacrifice that and we think what they think of me is more important, or if they criticize me, or if they look at me wrong, or if they talk harshly to me, and my clients will use words like, it's like a knife to the heart, David. My world collapses. I'm no good. I constantly need. And even one client just a couple of weeks ago, he says, like, I'm addicted. I'm addicted to people even looking strangely at me. I'm wondering what they're thinking. I run all these models as in my head. And the answer to this is very simple. You are not being responsible and accountable for your worth, for your value, for your shen. You're looking for somebody else to give it to you. And again, they can't, because it's not a commodity.
And I'm thinking, David, if someone is kind of constantly making demands of us, again, this is like a how do we know when question. How do we know when it's reasonable to respond to those demands because we want to help the person, but then beyond a certain point, we have to put in place boundaries because if we continue to meet their demands, that we're suffering ourselves, we're taking ourselves off our own path. So I'm just thinking, say, of a parent or a partner. At what point do we put in place boundaries and say, no, I've kind of done as much as I can reasonably do, but at this point I have to kind of conserve my own time and energy?
That's a great question, because I've spoken, first of all, and give the teaching on Shen and how important, vital that is for you as a spiritual person. And how do you make that connection to Shen? Because Shen is already there, but if you've made the misunderstanding that Shen is outside of you and comes into you, how do you reconnect to Shen? And the pathway to reconnection is truth, honesty, and integrity. First of all, in your self-talk, just as you're watching this teaching, listen to your self-talk. Are you being truthful? Are you honest with yourself? Have you and do you live in your integrity? Now, truthfulness is pretty easy, because somewhere I know and you know when you say something like, I'm not good enough, I can't cope, I'm unlovable. You know that's not the truth. And my clients will argue till the cows come home. And you know they won't win their argument, because somewhere down deep inside of them, they know that statement, I use the first one, I'm not good enough, doesn't even make sense. You can't make it make sense. Not good enough for whom? For what? For where? Who's judging you? See, and that's where you lose your truth, because you're lying. And you know you're lying. Somewhere deep in your psyche, you know you're lying. And that disconnects you from value and worth.
So I'm trying to think how we explicitly apply this to the people-pleasing type situations, real-life scenarios. If someone, say our partner, makes a demand of us and we don't really want to do it because we're already bogged down with work, we're already tied up, and it's going to create a real problem for us. If we feel almost magnetized to say yes, despite all of that, often it could be because we are holding an untruthful belief that if I don't say yes, it means I'm a bad partner, or I'm a bad wife, or I'm a bad husband. So that's one level of untruthfulness. But the very fact we are saying yes to something when authentically we want or we need to say no, that also is an untruthfulness.
Exactly. And I would put that in the integrity. That's the integrity. Let's run those three categories again: truth, honesty, and integrity. And up until a few years ago, when people say, explain more what you mean by integrity, I used to say walking the walk and talking the talk, living to what you believe. And I think that's a good description. I've kind of changed that slightly. If you want to get a really good idea on what integrity is, look at the polar opposite, hypocrisy. So using your example, if you say yes when you really mean no, you are being hypocritical. Mm-hmm. You have broken your integrity, and then you're losing that very strong connection to Shen. Shen is still there. Shen can't go away. You have innate Shen. It doesn't rise or fall. But what is important is how closely that connection is. That is the path of the Tao. In Taoism, that's what we're looking for. So we live our lives, every part of our lives, every part, at work, at home, with our friends, with our sport, the way we do things, the way we write, the way we communicate, is through truth, honesty, and integrity. Because when we do that, we're bringing in and we're more connected to our Shen, and then we stop looking outside for other people to validate us, to approve of us, to give us strokes, to keep telling us they're really pleased with us, when we know perhaps we've done something wrong. And those three, truth, honesty, and integrity, is the chain that links us back to Shen.
So again, in a practical sense, if someone makes a request or a demand of us, or we feel obliged to do something, we need to check in with ourselves first, check in with our Shen, our inner self, our higher self, our inner wisdom, and ask ourselves, is my response to this, is my reaction to this being driven by a need to seek validation from other people, prove that I am a good person, prove that I'm lovable, prove that I'm worth something, prove that I have some value? Is this crossing my boundaries? Is this going to stop me from following my true path?
That's right. But you inadvertently said a very interesting word there. Do you know the word you said?
No.
Feel.
Yeah.
And this is also what breaks the chain to your Shen, a feeling. So somebody says something and you have a feeling. I think in your introduction you said guilty.
Yeah.
That type of a feeling. And then instead of basing your response, instead of basing your life in Shen, guess what you're now basing and grounding your life in? Your emotions. What you feel. What you think you may feel. What you think that they feel. And so this becomes the carousel of despair, the emotional maze of confusion. And you run now, you're not grounding your life in Shen, your worth and your value, you're grounding your life in your emotions. And again, I'm going to say, because I try and say it on every video, it's so important. Remember, you are the creator of your emotions. You are not the victim of them. Again, I'm not saying you shouldn't create emotions. I am saying emotions are natural and normal and everybody have them. What makes us human beings? I'm very pleased that we have very strong emotions. But you create them. There's an action going on before you experience the emotion. It's like A, B, C. A, what you believe and think. B, the emotion that creates. C, the action you take. So if you base your decision, such as the one you said, from an emotion, you're not basing it from your beliefs. And therefore, you're stepping away every time from that connection to what I believe is the most profound, important thing in your life. Your Shen, your spirituality, what you stand for, your principles, your morals. What is it that defines you? Not what other people define you. That's where it goes wrong, because you'll be chasing around for the rest of your life trying to get the right response, and you'll never get the right response when the right response is found within.
So if we feel guilty or anxious or worried or are less of a person, or any of these feeling words, negative red light feelings, as we've described on many of our teachings, as you said, that is then we're in a danger zone, that we are now breaking the connection with our true authentic self and Shen, but that we can use those feelings as a kind of a warning light to tell us, I have to be very careful here, because this is in effect internally triggering something in me, like a faulty core belief that I need to prove myself, I need to be loved, I need to be valued, all of which, as you said, are not the truth.
And that's why I like the term red light feeling, rather than using the word like anxious or jealous or scared or frightened, because that leads you down another rabbit hole. If you call them red light feelings, and if you say to yourself, I have now created a red light feeling, why? Now you're on the golden thread. Again, we've done many teachings, look in the archives. You can now do the self-inquiry for yourself. Why have you chosen to create a red light feeling? It could be appropriate. It could be right to create a red light feeling. You see, we're not saying you shouldn't create a red light feeling. We're trying to find out why. The core belief. So if you're creating the red light feeling as you've used the example, that there is definitely wrong. That chain is broken. And that's why I like to call it a red light feeling. Imagine, after watching this teaching, you get in your car, you switch your car on, you drive along, and the red light comes on the dashboard. And you pull into the garage. The mechanic says, I'll fix that for you in two ticks. And he unscrews the red light. He says, there you are, no red light now, carry on driving. You wouldn't move. You say, but you haven't looked to where the problem is. You've only unscrewed the red light. And that's what the golden thread process does. You acknowledge the red light. The red light is doing a great job. You've now created, say, jealousy, fear. Why? Why have you chosen to create jealousy or fear? What is the belief that's driving that red light? And if you go down, and then this is the second part of the teaching, it will always involve the inner child. But what you will see is down there you have broken truth, honesty, and integrity. Now, when I speak to a client and they say, I'm going to use that example, I'm not good enough. I often say to them, I say to you, it doesn't make sense to me. I don't even understand the statement. I call it a victim statement. You're making yourself the victim. Good enough for what? Not good enough for whom? Doesn't even make sense. And prove it to me. No one's ever proven it to me. What makes them not good enough? They'll prove to me what happens when they believe they're not good enough, the consequences. They'll tell me when I hold that belief, David, guess what happens to my life? It's really unbalanced. It's really misaligned. Things don't work out for me. No wonder, look at your core belief. The core belief is wrong, not life is wrong. You're creating those consequences. And that's really what we have to get straight in our mind. You are the creator of your emotions. You are not the victim of them. When you experience a red light feeling, it normally means to me the inner child part of your mind is trying to communicate with you.
But so this inner child part of our mind, this is a legacy from our childhood experiences. So this people-pleasing behavior, this started right in our childhood. Or is that what you found with your clients? It's not a new recent thing.
No. This is what, I can't be precise for every single one, but I would say the vast majority, this people-pleasing, this concern about what other people think about you, this response of what other people will do to you, this trying to live up to other people's standards, this walking in their footsteps, this keeping your mouth shut when you have something valuable, important to say. Yes, this starts normally in childhood. The age that I normally focus on is between 6 years old and 9 years old. And this normally comes as a result of very poor parenting techniques. I will never blame parents at people, but I will and I want you to examine the techniques they use to bring you up, to rear you, because that's your education and that's where it normally goes wrong.
And so those techniques would be what? That we are encouraged when we're a young child to be a good girl, to be a good boy, and that if we don't behave and we don't do the right thing and we don't please our parents or our carers, that then we are scolded or frowned upon or criticized in some way.
That's right. We're punished. We're punished in some way. So it could be a really kind of physical punishment, beating, whipping. Lots of my clients have gone through horrific childhood. It could be a psychological punishment where the parents don't show their love, don't give attention, don't give them their support, don't show them love. And so the child, because remember we're talking about a child, hasn't got the cognitive reasoning, the cognitive understanding that you have now when we're talking about this teaching. And then the child, and we've done so many teachings on this, please, please go in the archives because this is so important. If what I'm saying resonates with you on any level, please look in deeper because you can change this. So the parent withdraws love, attention, withdraws that as a psychological beating rather than a physical beating. The child recognizes that. The parents aren't interested. They look around and they see their fellow friends, their parents are really interested, but your parents aren't interested. And then the child says what I call the vow, V-O-W, the vow. And the child says, there must be something wrong with me, or there must be something missing in me. And if you look at that statement, there's something wrong with me, what you're actually doing for the first time in your life at the age of 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, you're questioning your Shen. You're saying, my Shen is not innate. My Shen may not be there. My Shen may not be stronger than other people's Shen. Or you could say, my parents hold the key to the door that unlocks to my Shen.
And my value.
Mm-hmm. And my self-worth. So therefore, I have to please them to get the key, to open the door so I can get my value. But you see, all of this is childlike thinking. The problem is this thinking becomes the belief, the fundamental core belief. I always love what the Taoists say. It becomes the kernel in the middle of the nut. It holds tight. So although you mature quite naturally and you get on with your life, you have this misaligned force belief about value has to be obtained outside of you, externally to you, and you have to people please. You have to get the key, as you're not valuable, or they have to directly give you value.
And so it's the part of our mind that we are calling the inner child.
That's
that
right.
Holds on to this belief very rigidly, very tightly, and it's our inner child which is controlling and driving this people-pleasing behavior. So this is where the inner child reparenting work comes in, that we've done so many teachings on, and I will put links in the show notes to some of those as well to help you with this.
But the thing to also remember, how does the inner child communicate with you?
Through the emotions.
Through the emotions.
So when we're in a dynamic, when we're in a dialogue, a communication, a relationship with somebody, they're requesting something of us. When we experience the red light emotions in response to that request or their statement about us, then we know the inner child's involved.
That's
when
right.
We have the uncomfortable, painful.
And that's one of the things I want to do in these teachings. I want you to change your perception about your emotions. So when you're experiencing those acute, and I understand they can be acute, overwhelming, strong, whatever word you want to call it, fear, anxiety, guilt about people pleasing, the subject that we're talking about. This is your inner child screaming for help, screaming that he doesn't know how to deal with this, or she doesn't know how to deal with this situation. When your boss comes, and it could be something as simple as work, when your boss comes and drops a pile of files on your desk and says, I want them by 2 o'clock, and it's impossible, and you know it's impossible, and that's the truth, the inner child goes, oh my goodness, how do we deal with this? Because we can't tell the boss he's wrong, can we? Because he's the authority figure. And so the inner child will maybe create what you call stress, tension, overload. And so that's the inner child. Rather than saying, excuse me, sir, this would be impossible for anyone to do, and I can't do it because you've already given me a pile of work. Can we discuss this? Because there's something going wrong here with your expectations or my expectations. Do you believe that someone else could do this pile of files in 4 hours? Because it would be impossible. Instead of having that authentic, truthful, honest conversation with integrity, no. The inner child screams and shouts because the inner child now doesn't know how to deal with it. It hasn't had that communication and education. It doesn't know how to stand up for itself. It doesn't know how to honor its own worth and value because it's looking for the boss, in my example, to give them the worth and value. So how can you challenge the worth and value giver?
Yeah. And we've also done several teachings on this idea of standing up for yourself, speaking your truth in a variety of kind of relationship or work context, because it's not only about having the self-belief and self-awareness to put in boundaries to speak your truth, but it's also being able to cope with the emotional consequences. So we may muster up the courage, let's say, which I know is a feeling, to...
But you create the courage.
So we do that first step, we speak our truth, but then we have to be aware, particularly if these individuals, whether it's a family member, a partner, work colleague, if they're used to us always people-pleasing, always doing what they want, as soon as we start to put in boundaries and maybe speak our truth in a very diplomatic and calm way, they will react against
Absolutely.
That. So we have to, our inner child, our wholeness of ourself has to be totally self-assured
Absolutely.
In our position, because otherwise we'll create overwhelming red light emotions in response to other people's kind of extreme reactions.
But what you've just explained, Alex, is so important. And I say to my clients, don't worry about anybody else first. Don't worry about your boss, your partner, your family member, your father, your mother. Start with you. And the beauty about this is something that you can do for yourself. You can change your beliefs. Do not believe that beliefs are set in stone. I hear this so much from my clients because they don't want to change them. Oh, it's ingrained. Oh, it's set in stone. It's embedded. Oh, it's my nature. No, it's your belief. We change our beliefs constantly. And as I absolutely say, make sure your beliefs are yours. Isn't that sound simple? Make sure your beliefs are yours, because when we do the golden thread with the clients and we go down there and we go back into the childhood, you know what we find? The vast majority of your beliefs are not even yours. You've inherited them from authority figures, father, mother, grandmother, grandfather, family members, people that you hold highly important. So you're like a puppet dancing to other people's what they think is right. And you lose all of this value and worth. Well, you don't lose it. It doesn't go away, but you lose the connection to it. So because you're not being truthful, you're not being honest, and you've lost your integrity. And that's something you can get back for yourself first. So when you have this self-talk, when you hear that little chatter in your head, run the model. Is this true? Could I sit in front of David and convince him that this is true? Am I being honest? And do I have integrity? Do I live this way? Is this hypocritical? And here's what I call the Shen test. Very simple. This is the stress test that you can do it. What I'm saying to myself in my head, would I say to my physical child? Would I say exactly what I'm saying in my head to my physical child? I can tell you the answer is always no. Of course I wouldn't. My clients laugh at me. I wouldn't say that to anybody else. Then why are you saying it to yourself?
So in this example, it would be if our self-talk is saying, like, if I don't do this for this person, then I'm not good enough. I'm not valuable to them. I'm a letdown. So if we're saying that to ourselves, we do the stress test and say, we're saying it to our child, if you don't do this for your boss or your partner, then you are not a good person. You're a weak person. You're a useless person. We would never talk to our own child like that.
Exactly. It would be, one client said to me, that would be child abuse, wouldn't it? I said, yes, that's exactly what it is. And you're abusing your inner child, because that's what you say to yourself constantly. When you say, I'm not good enough. If a child come home and said, Mom, I had real difficulty. Dad, I had real difficulty with the math today. You wouldn't say, well, that's because you're not good enough. It's ridiculous. Yet you say to yourself without even considering it. And then what you try and do is you go down a different, you break away from your value. And then you want to, you wouldn't say to your child, well, that's because you're not good enough. So then tomorrow morning, you've got to take an apple for the teacher and try and convince her that you are good enough. You wouldn't say that to your child, but you say it to yourself. And this is where it goes wrong.
One thing I wanted to pick you up on, David, before we finish, you said, don't worry about what other people think.
Yes.
Well, is that actually true? Because surely it's right that we need to be caring, we need to be considerate,
absolutely,
we need to be measured,
absolutely,
in some way. So with whether it's a family member, a partner, a friend, a work colleague, we're not talking about becoming completely selfish, swinging exactly the opposite way, throwing caution to the wind, disregarding everyone else. Is it more a case of checking in with ourselves first and making sure this is aligned with our Shen, our truth, integrity first? Then if it is, then it's a question of, okay, so what can I reasonably do here for this person?
That's such a great question. And that's a question I often get asked from my clients. And what you just described is the emotional pendulum. So from people pleasing, from losing your value, from looking externally, that's one side of the pendulum. And then you swung right to the other side and you said, oh, does that mean I'm hard-hearted? I don't care. I don't give a toss. I'm not worried. Blah, blah, blah. Of course not. You've just gone from one side of the pendulum to the opposite side. This is called Wu Wei wisdom. Wu Wei means finding your flow, being authentic, being in the center of that pendulum. So, of course, you don't set out to harm people. But to me, when you lie to somebody, you are creating harm for them because they don't know whether they can trust you, because I think on some level they know you're not being truthful. But even greater, you're giving harm to yourself, because now you've separated from Shen. And our teaching is, and some people find this very difficult, what other people think of me is none of my business. What I think of me is my business. That I'm sitting in front of you and giving these teachings because I believe them to be true. I give them with integrity, with honesty. So it's because if I went, for instance, and spoke to 10 of your closest friends and family members and just said, what's your impression of you? I get 10 different answers. Which one of those are the real you? You know the only one that knows the real you? You know the only one that should be connected to the real you is you. Why don't you honor and respect that connection? Why don't you respect yourself just by being honest, truthful, and having integrity and connecting and seeing your worth? No one is more valuable or less valuable. We all have this innate intrinsic worth and value. Honor yourself. That's your Shen. And this is why this is a Shen teaching.
Wonderful. Thank you, David. And like I say, please check out the show notes. I will put links there to related teachings that will help you with this topic. Thank you so much for listening to this week's Wu Wei Wisdom Life Lesson. You can subscribe wherever you get your podcasts, and please rate and review us to help us grow. If you'd like to work one-to-one with David, he supports clients all over the world every week via video call. You can learn more about David's consultations, plus our online events, offers, and gifts on our website, wuweiwisdom.com. You can also meet and share with us in our private Facebook group, on our YouTube channel, and on Instagram. Search for Wu Wei Wisdom and you'll find us. Until next time, stay happy, healthy, and in your flow.